The complete timeline of the second coming of Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ lived, preached, performed miracles, died, and rose from the dead, leaving a profound impact on the world. He also made a promise to his followers that he would one day return to earth, but this time not as a humble servant, but as a judge who would oversee the final judgment of humanity. This anticipated second coming of Christ has been a central theme in Christian eschatology, with various signs predicted in the Bible that will signal his imminent return. The Bible outlines seven key signs that will precede Christ's second coming. These signs serve as markers for believers, alerting them to the unfolding of the end times. From wars and persecution to the rise of false prophets, each of these signs has been prophesied to warn humanity of what is to come. In this detailed exploration, we will break down each of the seven signs, starting with global conflicts and concluding with the appearance of the Antichrist in the millennium. A period of peace that will either follow or precede Christ's return, depending on different theological interpretations. The promise of Jesus' second coming. The second coming of Jesus is an essential belief in Christianity. After Jesus ascended to heaven following his resurrection, angels appeared to his disciples and assured them that just as Jesus had ascended, he would one day return in the same way. Acts 1:9-11. This promise gave birth to the Christian hope of Christ's return, where he would not only rescue believers, but also bring judgment upon the earth. While Jesus' first coming was characterized by humility and sacrifice, his second coming is portrayed as a powerful and majestic event, where he will return as King and Judge, Revelation 19:11-16. Jesus himself spoke of his return multiple times, warning his followers to be vigilant and prepared, for his coming would be sudden and unexpected, like a thief in the night, Matthew 24:42-44. Before Jesus' second coming, however, there are several prophetic events that must unfold. These events, also known as the seven signs, provide a timeline of sorts that will signal the approaching end times. The beginning of sorrow's global conflict, sign one. The first sign of Christ's impending return, according to Jesus' teachings, is the escalation of global conflicts. Jesus warned his disciples that before he comes again, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, Matthew 24:7. This statement points to a time of unprecedented global warfare that will serve as the first marker of the end times. In the Bible, this period is described as the beginning of sorrows or birth pains, Matthew 24:8. Just as a woman experiences labor pains before giving birth, the earth will undergo a time of great turmoil and suffering before the return of Christ. The imagery of birth pains is significant because it implies that the difficulties and conflicts will increase in intensity and frequency as the time of Christ's return draws closer. Historically, wars have always been a part of human civilization, but Jesus' prophecy specifically refers to wars on a global scale. In the context of the modern era, the two world wars of the 20th century stand out as unprecedented events in history. World War I and World War II brought nearly every nation into conflict, resulting in unimaginable destruction and loss of life. For many believers, these wars were seen as the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy, signaling the beginning of the end times. However, Jesus' reference to nation rising against nation does not only apply to past events. The current state of global affairs, with tensions between nations and the constant threat of war, continues to align with this prophecy. Whether it's conflicts in the Middle East, the threat of nuclear warfare, or increasing geopolitical instability, the world seems to be constantly on the brink of disaster. For many Christians, these ongoing conflicts serve as further confirmation that we are living in the period of sorrows and the return of Christ is drawing near. The persecution of Christians, sign two. The second sign of Christ's return is the persecution of Christians. Jesus told his disciples, "You will be hated by all nations because of me," Matthew 24:9. He further explained that believers would be arrested, persecuted, and even killed for their faith, a sobering reality that would occur before his second coming. While Christians have faced persecution since the earliest days of the church, Jesus' prophecy suggests that this persecution will increase and become more widespread as the end times approach. In today's world, Christian persecution is more prevalent than ever. According to reports from organizations like Open Doors, over 365 million Christians around the world face high levels of persecution and discrimination. This persecution takes many forms, from social and legal discrimination to imprisonment, torture, and even martyrdom. In countries like North Korea, Iran, and China, Christians are often seen as a threat to the state and are severely punished for practicing their faith. Underground churches are regularly raided, and believers are arrested, tortured, or killed for refusing to renounce their faith. This widespread persecution is not only a fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy, but also a reminder to Christians that their faith may come with a great cost. Jesus warned that this persecution would lead some to fall away from the faith, while others would remain steadfast in their belief. This period of persecution is a test of faith for Christians and a sign that the end is near. The rise of false prophets. Sign 3. The third sign of Christ's return is the rise of false prophets who will deceive many. Jesus warned, "Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." Matthew 24:11. These false prophets will claim to speak in the name of God, but will instead lead people astray with lies and false teachings. In today's world, the rise of false prophets can be seen in the proliferation of individuals and groups who claim to have special revelation or knowledge from God, but preach messages that are contrary to the Bible. With the advent of social media, it has become easier than ever for these false prophets to gain large followings and spread their deceptive messages to a global audience. Many of these false prophets exploit people's fears and uncertainties, promising wealth, health, and success in exchange for financial donations or loyalty. Others preach messages that distort the gospel, offering a version of Christianity that is more about self-empowerment than about following Jesus. Jesus warned that these false prophets would not only deceive individuals, but entire nations. Their influence would be so great that even some believers could be led astray. This rise in deception is another sign that the end times are upon us. The Millennium, Sign 4. The fourth sign leading up to Christ's second coming is the prophecy of the millennium. This is one of the most debated topics in Christian eschatology, with different interpretations of when and how this thousand-year period of peace and righteousness will occur. The millennium is mentioned in Revelation 21-6, where it is described as a time when Christ will rule on earth for 1,000 years, bringing peace and prosperity to the world. However, not all Christians agree on the nature of the millennium or when it will take place. There are three primary views: amillennialism, postmillennialism, and premillennialism. 1. Amillennialism. This view interprets the millennium as a symbolic period, rather than a literal 1,000 years. Amillennialists believe that the millennium began when Jesus ascended to heaven and will continue until his second coming. They see the millennium as the current age, where Christ reigns spiritually through his church. According to this view, there will not be a future, literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Instead, Christ's kingdom is already present in the world through his church. 2. Postmillennialism. Postmillennialists believe that the millennium is a future period of peace and righteousness that will occur before Christ's return. However, unlike premillennialists, postmillennialists believe that this period will be brought about by the spread of the gospel and the Christianization of the world. According to this view, as more people accept the gospel and society becomes more Christianized, the world will experience a period of peace and prosperity, which will be followed by Christ's return. 3. Premillennialism. Premillennialists believe that the millennium will occur after Christ's return. According to this view, Jesus will return to earth and establish his kingdom, where he will reign for a literal 1,000 years. During this time, there will be peace, prosperity, and righteousness, and Satan will be bound and unable to deceive the nations. After the 1,000 years, Satan will be released for a short time before being defeated once and for all, followed by the final judgment. The differing views on the millennium highlight the complexity of interpreting biblical prophecy. While the exact timeline of events may be debated, the belief in the eventual reign of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom is a central theme in Christian eschatology. The binding of Satan, sign 6. The sixth sign of Christ's return is the binding of Satan. According to Revelation 21:1-3, Satan will be bound and thrown into the abyss for 1,000 years, preventing him from deceiving the nations during the millennium. As with the millennium, there are different interpretations of when and how Satan will be bound. Amillennialists believe that Satan was bound at the cross when Jesus defeated sin and death. They interpret the binding of Satan as a symbolic restraint of his power, rather than a literal imprisonment. According to this view, Satan's ability to deceive the nations has been limited by the spread of the gospel. Postmillennialists, on the other hand, believe that Satan will be bound by the church as it spreads the gospel and establishes the kingdom of God on earth. They see the binding of Satan as a gradual process that will culminate in his complete restraint, allowing for the millennium of peace and prosperity to unfold before Christ's return. Premillennialists take a more literal approach, believing that Satan will be physically bound and imprisoned after Christ returns to establish his 1,000-year reign on earth. During this time, Satan will be unable to influence or deceive humanity, allowing for a period of unprecedented peace and righteousness. After the millennium, Satan will be released for a short time, leading to a final confrontation between good and evil before he is ultimately defeated and cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Revelation 27:10. The binding of Satan is significant because it represents the ultimate victory of Christ over evil. It is a key moment in the timeline of the second coming, signaling the defeat of the forces of darkness and the establishment of Christ's reign on earth. For believers, the binding of Satan is a source of hope as it points to the end of suffering, deception, and sin in the world. The appearance of the Antichrist, sign 7. The seventh and final sign of Christ's return is the appearance of the Antichrist. The Bible describes the Antichrist as a figure who will rise to power during the end times, claiming to be God and demanding worship from the world. This man of sin, or man of lawlessness, is mentioned in several passages, including 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4 and Revelation 13:1-10. The Antichrist will deceive many and will be a central figure in the events leading up to Christ's second coming. Different Christian traditions have varying interpretations of the Antichrist. Amillennialists and postmillennialists tend to view the Antichrist as a symbolic figure or a representation of the spirit of deception and lawlessness that opposes Christ throughout history. They believe that the Antichrist is not necessarily a single individual, but rather a figurative force that manifests in various ways, through false religions, oppressive governments, or corrupt leaders. Premillennialists, on the other hand, believe that the Antichrist is a literal person who will emerge during the end times. According to this view, the Antichrist will be a charismatic and powerful leader who will deceive the nations and establish a global government. He will bring a false peace to the world and will claim to be the Messiah, demanding that people worship him. The Antichrist's reign will be marked by 7 years of tribulation, a time of great suffering and turmoil for the world. Daniel 9:27. The appearance of the Antichrist is a pivotal moment in the timeline of the second coming. For premillennialists, this figure represents the ultimate embodiment of evil, who will deceive many and lead the world into a period of great darkness. However, the Bible also teaches that the Antichrist's reign will be short-lived. Christ will return in glory and defeat the Antichrist, bringing an end to his rule and establishing his eternal kingdom. The role of the Antichrist in the end times serves as a warning to believers to remain vigilant and discerning. Jesus warned that many would be deceived by false prophets and false messiahs, and the appearance of the Antichrist will be the culmination of this deception. Believers are encouraged to stay faithful to Christ and to be watchful for the signs of his return, knowing that the ultimate victory belongs to Christ. The different views on the timeline of Christ's return. The seven signs leading up to Christ's second coming are interpreted differently by various Christian traditions. and these differences are reflected in the different views on the timeline of events. As previously mentioned, there are three primary eschatological views: amillennialism, postmillennialism, and premillennialism. Each of these views offers a distinct interpretation of the timeline of Christ's return and the events that will precede it. 1. Amillennialism. Amillennialists believe that the millennium is not a literal thousand-year period, but rather a symbolic representation of Christ's spiritual reign over his church. According to this view, the millennium began when Jesus ascended to heaven and will continue until his return. Amillennialists do not expect a literal thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, but believe that Christ's kingdom is already present in the world through his church. The events described in Revelation, including the binding of Satan and the appearance of the Antichrist, are seen as symbolic and have been unfolding throughout history. 2. Postmillennialism. Postmillennialists believe that the millennium is a future period of peace and righteousness that will occur before Christ's return. This view holds that the world will gradually become more Christianized as the gospel spreads and transforms society. The millennium will be a time of great prosperity and spiritual renewal, brought about by the influence of the church. Once the millennium has been established, Christ will return to judge the living and the dead. Postmillennialists view the binding of Satan and the appearance of the Antichrist as events that will occur during this future period of peace. 3. Premillennialism. Premillennialists believe that Christ will return before the millennium to establish his kingdom on earth. According to this view, Christ's return will be preceded by the seven signs described in the Bible, including global conflict, persecution of Christians, the rise of false prophets, and the appearance of the Antichrist. After Christ's return, he will rule on earth for a literal thousand years, during which time Satan will be bound and there will be peace and prosperity. At the end of the millennium, Satan will be released for a short time, leading to a final confrontation between good and evil, after which Christ will judge the world and establish a new heaven and new earth. Each of these views offers a different perspective on the timeline of Christ's return and the events that will precede it. While the details may differ, the central belief remains the same: Christ will return in glory to judge the world and establish his eternal kingdom. The hope of Christ's return. The second coming of Christ is a central hope for Christians around the world. While the seven signs described in the Bible offer a roadmap to the end times, they also serve as a reminder of the challenges and trials that will precede Christ's return. From global conflicts to persecution, deception, and the rise of the Antichrist, believers are warned to remain vigilant and faithful in the face of adversity. Despite the difficulties that lie ahead, the promise of Christ's return offers hope and assurance. For Christians, the second coming represents the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan for the world, a time when sin, suffering, and death will be no more, and Christ will reign in righteousness and peace. The binding of Satan, the defeat of the Antichrist, and the establishment of Christ's kingdom mark the beginning of a new era where believers will dwell with God for all eternity. As the Bible teaches, no one knows the exact day or hour of Christ's return, Matthew 24:36. But the signs outlined in Scripture provide clues that his coming is drawing near. The call for believers is to be watchful, prayerful, and prepared, living lives that reflect the love and truth of Christ as they await his glorious return. Whether the millennium is symbolic or literal, whether the Antichrist is a figure or a spirit, the ultimate message is clear. Christ is coming again, and his return will bring the final victory over evil and the fulfillment of God's kingdom.